Welcome to episode 14 of the Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. In this episode, we discuss creating quality alternative text for images, important considerations when applying alternative text best practices inside the WordPress ecosystem, and whether automated alternative text solutions are truly ready for mainstream use. For show notes and a full transcript, go to accessibilitycraft.com/014. And now, on to the show.
Hey everybody, it's Amber, and I am here today with Steve.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
And Chris.
Howdy.
And we're going to be talking about alt text, but of course, we're always going to start with a beverage. Chris, what are we drinking today?
So this was somewhat inspired by something I heard on the radio recently, and the beer we're trying today may eventually no longer be available, at least in the traditional sense, and I'll get into that. But we are trying Westmalle Double, which is a Trappist beer. So what marks or differentiates a Trappist beer is that these beers are actually made by monks, traditionally. So European monks make these beers, or at least oversee the production of these beers in some cases. And these beers generally have a reddish brown color. They're known for like a kind of creamier, head at the top if you pour it in a glass, and usually lots of, complex flavors because it doesn't just go in initial fermentation in a tank. They also continue to ferment it inside the bottle. So it's kind of an interesting and different beer. So it just still has live yeast in it. They don't stop the yeast fermentation right away. When they bottle it, they allow it to continue for a little while.
Yeah, when I poured mine into a glass, I got like just as much foam on the top as I got from the actual beer. Mm-hmm. So it was very foamy, but it's like settled now.
So it's, I think we should taste. I think it what the tasting notes are from Westmalle is that it should have a rich and complex flavor. It should be both herby and fruity with a fresh, bitter finish. It should be very balanced and not too extreme one way or the other.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm drinking it straight from the bottle.
This is a very large bottle, you guys, which is very funny that Steve is drinking out of the bottle. It's like looks like a wine bottle. That's how big it is.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I get the bitter at the end, but it's light. Like, it's not super hoppy bitter. Like,
Yeah, and I appreciate that. It's not too bitter, and the richness is definitely there. Like, if you drink it, it's almost got... It's somewhere between whole milk and heavy cream as far as the mouthfeel. Like, it's very... It's a very thick beer, but without being quite like a stout, you know? It's got... It's lighter on the flavor.
So, I like it.
Yeah.
Like it. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely European.
Why will it not be available? Are the monks going away? Where the monks are not going to make beer anymore?
That is actually the problem is fewer and fewer monks or people are getting into like brewing as monks or becoming monks because, and this is from a radio story I listened to, but apparently becoming a monk at these Trappist breweries can be a 7 to 9 year process before they let you start brewing the beer. So it's quite a commitment to get to brew these beers. And so what a lot of these Trappist breweries have done is they have like one or two monks, overseeing the brewing process, and then they just have run-of-the-mill, you know, employees handling a lot of the operations. So it's still overseen by monks, even if monks aren't doing 100% of the brewing. But what I'm hearing is, and because it's actually by law in a lot of European countries, that in order to be a Trappist beer, it has to be at least overseen by monks. And the numbers of monks brewing these beers are dwindling, that eventually they're either going to have to change the law or the number of Trappist beers available are going to eventually like go away, potentially, at least with the current trend.
Are monks not allowed to get married? Are they one of those?
I think so. I don't know. I think
so. That might make this a less appealing career option. Right? If you can't get married and have a family.
So it says pour carefully, leaving the yeast behind in the bottle. I'm hitting it right from the bottle. Am I going to have digestive issues? Some candida?
Probably not digestive issues, but if you get a little grit, you know, tipping it back, you're probably getting some of the yeast that settles to the bottom of the bottle. The other interesting thing about these that I learned a while ago is that a lot of these, because they're associated with the church, these breweries, a lot of them are nonprofit. So, like, the monks that are overseeing this process and that are doing this, like, they're not really doing it to make money, right? They're making the best possible beer they can, and so they don't skimp on ingredients. They don't try to figure out how to do it cheaper by introducing, you know, subpar stuff into the brew. And so that's why Trappist beers tend to always be very high quality. And it's like less of a mixed bag.
I almost wonder for them if doing it, like the practice of doing it, is like a spiritual experience. I mean, I don't know how much it is now because they probably have a lot of high-tech equipment, but back, like originally when they started doing it, right, they might have, I don't know, ground things by hand or, you know, like spent a lot of time like stirring very carefully. Worked at I volunteered for a CSA, which is a community supported agriculture, for people who aren't familiar. And basically, it's a farm, and you pay the farm a set amount of money at the beginning of the season, and then you just get a share of the produce or the crops the entire season. And if they do well, you get a lot. If they don't do well, like, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And there's this one farm in Colorado called Happy Heart Farm, and the guy who ran it and his wife, they were definitely like a little hippie. But I remember at one point in time, it was an organic thing, and I was there, and he's like, we're going to make this, like, petal-infused water to water the crops with to help it have, like, the right harmony and balance.
Mm.
And he had these giant barrels of water, and he put, like, rose hips in it and maybe some other flower petals. And then we had this big stick, and we had to hand stir like a certain number of times clockwise and then a certain number of times counterclockwise. And you had to get the right like spin on the water to like create this cool, like, I don't know, to get the right energy out of the flower petals into the water.
Yeah. Definitely sounds like some new age stuff.
Yes, it was totally like he was older, like he had started this farm in like the late 60s. Like, this has been his, you know, he's definitely a hippie in that way. But when I think about like Travis monks making beer, that's what I think of. Like, were they like getting the spiritual thing into like the art of making the perfect beer?
Well, I mean, there's definitely, I mean, humans are made to work, right? And there's probably there's something good for the soul when you work with your hands and keep busy in some way, right?
And we can appreciate the fruits of their labor.
There you go.
It's pretty good. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we all know at this point, our listeners know that Steve's not a big drinker. And so to get Steve to say that a beer is pretty good is actually, maybe there should be like a plaque for that or something we send people.
Yeah. Well, here's my official review. So it's really smooth, right? Like it's real even, like it's just kind of consistent across, and it doesn't offend much. But so what I would say, like officially, I would say it's not very beery. You know what I'm saying? It's not like skunky, you know, it's very smooth. It might be the smoothest one we've tried so far. I mean,
That might come down to like their yeast strain and how many bitter ingredients they add to their brew, like hops and other things, right? I've always enjoyed Trappist beers. I don't buy them very often, so I was like looking at the beer shop website, and then I saw that they had the Trappist category, and I was like, ooh, I haven't had one of these for a really long time. And then I heard the story, coincidentally, about how these are a fading beer, and I was like, oh, I have to do this.
Yeah, you'll have to look for that. If I don't know if it was like on NPR or something, and maybe we can throw the radio story link or whatever in the show notes. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'll 100% be in our show notes. So that was West Mall Double. Everybody liked it at least a little, which is awesome. And now we're going to talk about alternative text.
Yes. So I picked this topic. It's funny because I feel like sometimes it's like alternative text is so basic. How could you talk about it for 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Except for, I feel like there are so many like sort of ways to finesse it and like different ways to approach different approaches to it. And then I saw this article on a website called Museum Next, which is just a website or publication that is targeted to museums and people who run museums and things like that. And they this just came out on March 16th of this year. And the author had spent time talking to people who work at the Amon Carter Museum of American Art about the efforts that they have put into trying to add alt text and the process of like how they even decide to write their alt text for their website, which they really started putting effort into just a couple of years ago. And it was interesting because they had some different things in there. Like she was talking about the challenges of figuring out how to appropriately describe images featuring people of different races and ethnicities, describing artwork that has disturbing elements in it, or how do you describe a very abstract work of art that has unusual patterns and colors to someone who's visually impaired. And I saw this article and I thought it was just like really fascinating to think about it from the standpoint of an art museum. So I was like, this would be a great thing for us to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, where I would start with that is like, how do you describe like a painting or a piece of art and remain like completely objective?
Right.
Right? Like say some aspect of it frightens you or offends you or you find just absolutely stunningly beautiful, right? Like how do you accurately describe something without injecting your own either bias or just your own interpretation of the piece, right? When it comes to art, that's what jumps in my head immediately.
Yeah. So there was a WordPress accessibility meetup, which actually we released the audio on this podcast earlier. So go back in our archives, listeners, if you want to hear it, with Joel Snyder. And he was talking about doing audio description of movies or theater or other videos for people who are blind that need to see what it is. And one of the things that really stuck with me is that he said like a big goal of that is not to provide any sort of judgment. Like you wouldn't say the character is happy. Like you would say the character has a large smile on their face or something like that, because you want the person to be able to hear and make their own judgment about what it means. And so I think like with art, that might be the same thing. Like visually describing without using judgment-based words,
yeah,
maybe?
Without trying to interpret it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That must be really hard for art, though.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes even I've seen that where we've been on websites we've audited and it's all like a icon of this symbolizing XYZ. And it's like a blind person can know that that symbol, like you don't need to explain why you chose that icon. Like you wouldn't explain it to a sighted person. Like this is what this icon is supposed to symbolize. You just allow them to assume. So like, you know, maybe that's a thing. You have to try and allow people to make their own judgment of why an image or an icon has been selected.
Yeah.
So the other article that I think we wanted to shout out a little bit was actually NASA and the work they've done on alternative text for some of the images that they capture in outer space. Amber, do you want to take us through that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of articles if you just Google NASA alternative text, because I feel like this came out towards the end of last year in 2022. And you can, if you just go follow them on social media or even visit their website and you look at their alternative text, they've done a lot to, you know, it would be really easy and cheater to just be like, stars in the sky, the Milky Way galaxy.
Right.
On every image, and every image would have the exact same alternative text, which of course is not helpful at all to users because they're like, yeah, but what is it or why is it, right? And so they've done a lot of work to try and be more clear about how it looks. Like I've seen one where they describe sort of, I want to use the word clouds, but I don't think it's clouds when it's in outer space. But how it looks like in the galaxy, it like looks kind of cloud-like, but then it also looks like a mountain range with different colors. but it's like in the sky from a telescope. And so I think, you know, they've gotten a lot of good press for their alternative texts and being able to describe things.
Right. So like one example was like the Crab Nebula, right? So they would have a detailed description of its appearance and its significance. Would that be in the alt text, the significance of it?
Did they give an example on that one? Like, is there one you can read?
Well, I'll be honest. The post is behind a paywall. So I just had chat.
Oh, Steve, you just have to go into DevTools and turn JavaScript off.
Yeah. But I had OpenAI tell me what it was.
Oh, I was gonna say, you're a developer. Don't you know this?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that I could do that.
All the time. Is that wrong? Maybe we shouldn't say that.
I don't know if it's wrong. Is it wrong?
I think there's a BuzzFeed article that is not gated because BuzzFeed makes their money off ads. Although I think the Washington Post does too, so I don't know why that's gated. But yeah, maybe we'll link to the BuzzFeed version and the Washington Post version in the show notes. But okay, so you can't see the alt text on that particular one. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have it open without turning off my JavaScript.
Yeah.
But... yeah, no, I don't know. That is interesting. Like the significance, that seems weird. I feel like the significance you would want to surface for everyone. And so that would be in the paragraphs surrounding the image or the caption if you're sharing it on social media.
Right.
But I don't know.
Hmm.
They're doing it. You know, I think this draws, and I had this lower in our show notes, but I'm going to pull it up because I think this is something I just submitted. I don't do any coding, you guys, just so you know. It's very minimal. But I submitted a pull request last night, which Steve probably got notified of, that I wanted to increase the character count on one of our warnings in Accessibility Checker. So we have a warning about long alternative text. And we originally set this to 100 characters. So if your text was longer than 100 characters, then... it would be like, hey, this is kind of long. You should check. Is this really good alternative text? But I feel like after looking at different things, either on client websites or websites we audit, or like reading this article about NASA and seeing the kind of alternative text that they're using to describe images, I ended up being like, I think it should be about the length of a tweet. So I went and submitted a pull request that it should be increased to 300 characters. Steve, I have no idea if you're going to approve that PR.
No, I'm not. It's going to be denied. No. I mean, I'd always thought that, like, you know, the shorter the better, right? Like at most, like maybe like 125 or 150 characters. Because, like, I think sometimes content producers have a tendency to kind of duplicate what's in the alt text in the body copy as well.
Body?
So I think if you're, I mean, 300 is a lot, right? Like, I think if you're mindful of what you're putting in there, that it's catered towards the image and not just a repetition of what's in the paragraph below or above, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. So on Twitter, I think you can use 1,000 characters.
On their alt text, okay. Which we're going to get to later, right? About the abuse of that, right?
Yeah. But
I'll go on record and say I think 1,000 characters is way too much.
Yeah, totally.
Well, but here's what's weird. Now, okay, social media is different from a website because sometimes on social media people post like images
with text on them. Yeah.
And on a website, there's literally no reason to ever do that. But on Twitter, like you might be like, oh, here's a Facebook post I like or a LinkedIn post and you want to credit that person. So instead of just copying and pasting their text, you screenshot their thing and you share it with a little sentence. And then you would have to have a lot of characters in your alt because otherwise a blind person who came across your tweet with that image wouldn't get all the text that's on that image. So I feel like that's kind of an argument for having a really long on Twitter.
No, that's a good argument.
But I don't think, like, we shouldn't ever be doing that. But at the same time, like, I've even thought about this, you know, for events. You create an event graphic. And we've debated this ourselves with the meetups because we always create a graphic that's a featured image for the actual event that we can use to share on social media so that at a glance, a sighted person could just see, you know, the title, the time and date, who the speaker is, the speaker's job title. It has a photo of the speaker. It has like the like maybe like how to RSVP or whatever that might be. And if we set that as the featured image on the post, then it shows up in the post. So it's a question of, do we want the alt text to be all that information, which is also in the post? Or do we just say, like, you know, promotional graphic for event, you know, information in body or something like that? Like, we've used that before where we've used the alt text to, like, provide instructions on where to find the actual information because we don't want to replicate. Mm. I don't know. I don't know if you guys have thoughts about that, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for somebody that doesn't, you know, use a screen reader as my daily driver, it's hard for me to say, right? Like, I'd be curious to see what, you know, like a, you know, person that, you know, a blind user would think about that, right? Like, do they not, mm-hmm. like, you know, see body paragraph here, right? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there are situations where they definitely, like, I've seen on graphs where it's like graph of this, data follows in table. Yeah, and I think yeah. I've seen blind people say they like that because then they know, okay, it's a graph, but if I want to get this information, rather than having to hear like someone try to explain what, you know, 10 different bar columns mean.
Right, right.
Or maybe even more complex than that, right? All the different data points. Like, it's way better to have that in a table and than like description of alt text that actually explains what that graph is.
Yeah. Yeah,
or how it looks.
I mean, that's a good use case for that.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker. Accessibility Checker is the best plugin for accessibility testing WordPress websites. Use it to find accessibility problems during new builds or monitor accessibility and remind content creators of accessibility best practices on an ongoing basis. In honor of Global Accessibility Awareness Day, we are offering all of our podcast listeners 30% off all paid Accessibility Checker plans. From May 18th to May 24th, 2023, visit equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker and use coupon code GAD23. That's GAAD23 at checkout to save 30% off all paid plans. Don't miss out on this limited time sale. Get Accessibility Checker today.
Yeah. I know Alex Stein, who I don't know if we've talked about him on the podcast before, but my friend Alex, he's on the WordPress accessibility team. He's a developer, maybe he's a JavaScript software engineer. He works outside of WordPress, but he contributes to WordPress. And he is blind and uses a screen reader every day. I know he said before, we've talked about this, that, you know, he wants all of the information that a sighted person would get. So, like, this has come up before. He helps organize WordPress Accessibility Day. And we had a lot of conversations about the photos of the people. And we're now asking speakers and volunteers to provide an alt text that describes themselves because we didn't just want to put their name. Because in an instance like that, he's like, you know, it might be useful to know about diversity of the speakers if you're trying to decide if this is an event, you know,
but I mean,
that is of interest to you or if you want to apply to speak at it too.
I'd be curious. You
know, so that
like,
way people can.
Yeah, I'd be curious like to I mean, you got to think like an image, right? So say it's a, you know, my speaker photo for my speaking talk, right? Like how much information is actually in there for a sighted user like me, right? Like, or like you, like, you know, the color of my eyes, the length of my hair, the right, the color of the shirt I'm wearing, am I wearing a necklace, you know like mm-hmm. how so, far do you go?
Yeah, so I think on that this is part of why we decided to let people describe themselves.
Yeah,
first of all, because I don't want to guess on someone's ethnicity or their gender identity or whatever, right? We're just going to let people do that. And so in some sense, that allows the person to decide what's the most important thing about themselves. Mm-hmm. And they could just say, you know, Amber's a female smiling. Or they could get really descriptive. Like, I've seen one, I actually really liked Carrie Dill's. Like, I've seen a few where they, like, put in personality. And I can't remember exactly what hers said right now. I wish I had thought to pull this up beforehand. But she was, like, she mentioned that she was, like, smiling over her shoulder at, like, at a concert or something like that. Like, she described the venue instead of just, like, herself. Mm-hmm. And I think that is interesting because that does sometimes, like, that is a diversity thing, right? Like, it's not always just about your skin color or your gender.
Sure.
Like, you know, wearing a necklace or, like, having a certain words on your shirt might be important to explaining something about your personality or who you are as a person that is helpful information. But then it's like eye color. I don't know how important that is, you know, so.
But it's information. You know, I just broached it for the sake of the conversation. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I have mine figured out, right? You know, Steve, 40 something that looks like a 20 something, super ripped. And intelligent.
Yeah.
There was one person. Everybody should go look at the 2022 Accessibility Day speakers. There was one person. I don't remember who he was, but he said something like middle-aged, balding, and overweight. It's like the opposite of what you just said. But I laughed so much, and I was a little bit like, yeah. I don't know if I should be worried about his confidence or if I'm like.
He oh no, that's like the that's the opposite honest. Of worrying about someone's confidence. That dude is owning it.
Yeah.
That dude's owning it.
Just so the listeners know, I have a beautiful full head of hair.
Yes.
That is short though.
It's
Chris is the one who's rocking the ponytail.
Yeah. We have
I'm business in the front, party in the back. That's so if I turn my head sideways, you see the ponytail.
Is that
yeah, be careful. That's starting to sound like a mullet.
Yeah. You know, I want to be careful with this, but are we entering man bun territory yet?
We might be.
I'm not sure.
I think I like mini man bun.
Mini man bun. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell on Zoom.
Yeah. No.
Well, he doesn't show the back of his head on Zoom.
It's like halfway for the listeners. It's like halfway down the back of my head. Yeah, roughly. Yeah.
He's gonna be buying a samurai sword real quick soon.
Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. You got the inspiration. Our kids call it his D&D haircut because we play D&D with our two oldest daughters, and they're like, "It's like a D&D character haircut." Oh, we have strayed from alternative text. All right, so
no, we just provided the alternative text for my hair for the listeners.
There you go.
Yes. So I had a few other things that would be interesting to talk about, and I don't know if we have to go way down the rabbit hole of like perfect alternative text. There is actually a really useful WordPress accessibility meetup that Meg Miller did on this that we can link in the show notes. But there are a few things like specific to WordPress and alternative text that are sort of interesting and I thought might be useful to discuss because some people might not know. So one of them is updating the alternative text on a post in WordPress doesn't actually add it in the media library alternative text on the image.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, if you go to your media library and you edit all your alternative text there, it doesn't actually add it anywhere the image has been inserted. And I think that was an intentional decision on the core team, and it might be worth talking about that a little bit. Like, why does that function that way?
Well, I think because your image can be used in different contexts, right? Like, the same image can be used twice, of course, right? And it could be used in different ways.
So this is what we haven't said yet, which is that alt text should be context relevant, not just literally describing the image.
Yeah, so relevant to the text around it, right? Is that what, yeah. So, mm-hmm. So I think that's the case. I know, like, you know, years ago when, you know, the goal was just to get something in the alt text field, right? We would we would output the image, right? And we would put like the image or the post title in the image or something, you know, in mm-hmm. some fashion, just so there was something there. So like that could, so the your theme developer can thwart your best efforts sometimes when it comes to alt text, depending on how they're outputting that image, if it's a featured image or, you know, or some kind of custom block that's been made or something. If they're not polling the actual WordPress alt text field, if they're trying to, you know, override that with like the title or you know, or the, even I've even seen the image title output in that field. So you got to be mindful of that. And I think we've even fielded some support requests on the Accessibility Checker plugin in regard to that, where the Accessibility Checker's flagging some alt error, and they're like, well, I've added the alt text, but it's not showing on the front end. The Accessibility Checker is still flagging it as missing alt text. And after doing some investigation, we found out that their theme was actually not outputting the alt text field at all.
Yeah. Or they just went through, I've seen instances of this where they spent a lot, which is really sucky, they spent a lot of time updating alt text in their media library without realizing that it actually updates any of the posts or pages where that image is being used.
Yeah.
So I feel like it would be actually a really great addition to Core, and perhaps if not Core, maybe a future version of our plugin, to have something that, like, if you update it in the media library, it finds all instances of that image, and if there is not already alt text in the post, it would put whatever you've put in the media library on the image on the post. But if there is, we wouldn't want to override it, because of course we don't want to remove accurate alt text that was context specific. But I feel like that would be a useful feature for people, because right now there is not a fast way to just go so
have
add
the alt text. Have the media library be like the alt text fallback, and then it could also be defined in specific pages and posts where that image is used.
Sounds like a new plugin that we're working on.
Are you like adding it to our ideas list right now?
I'm just making notes. Please, nobody steal our idea.
Well, okay. So talking of new plugins that are trying to make generating alt text easier, the team at Howard, what is it? Howard Design?
HDC. It's HDC, is how I know them. I think it's Howard Development Consulting. I'm sorry, Rob, if we get this wrong and you listen.
Rob's team. We'll just say Rob's team.
Yeah.
They released a plugin called Every Alt, which is a ChatGTP or, I don't know, some other AI connected plugin that can help you generate alt text. I tried it last night. I went and set up. You can get it's a WordPress plugin. You have to set up an account on their website. You can get 25 image credits for free. And then I think it was like $15 or something for every 1,500 images. So it's not super expensive. So I was like, I'm going to try this and see what it is. I don't know if you guys watched, because I recorded a couple of quick videos. And then I also have this Google Doc where I put in some of the images and what I got back, and I could maybe describe a few of them for our listeners. But maybe before we do that, like, I feel like this is a little connected to, well, the conversation of making it easier, but also what we had with Yost and Marika about AI generated content and where that fits in. Yep. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about Every Alt before we dive into like what my findings were.
Yeah. So like I think on one hand, like, you know, we've had some internal discussions about this as well, using AI to help facilitate some stuff within our own business, right? And we're talking about, like, you know, whether it's right to use it, if it's not 100% right, or is our using it contributing to making it better, right? So, like, AI generated alt text, you know, as Amber will describe, it does a pretty good job. I mean, it's not bad. If it takes the baseline of like people adding alt text to their images, if it helps increase like the baseline compliance of that just up a little bit, I think it's worth it, right? Like, can you imagine, like, 40% of the websites on the internet you know, their compliance in alt text increasing 10% is huge, right, for accessibility, right?
So, okay, this is interesting that you're saying I'm going to say it's not that bad, because I, with this, I'm leaning towards I don't think it helps.
You don't think it...
So let me... let me describe some of these images.
Okay, okay.
And then I'd love to have this conversation with you too and get your thoughts on whether or not. So I tested this on my personal blog, which I have not really updated for years. The vast majority of posts on there have a lot of images because they're like, it was like a mom blog for all of our listeners. So we're talking 10, 20 images per post, many of which have zero alt text. There's a few when I tested this, which I didn't know, that actually have image underscore 312 or something similar as the alt text. So that's horrible. That's worse than no alt text, right? It'd be better if they had no alt text. So it is bad. And so I was like, oh, this is a great place to test this, because if this works, I would probably pay for that plugin and I would just run it. It would not cost that much money. And they'd be like, I have all that. So I'm going to describe some of these. And then I'm curious at the end if you guys think I should go do this or not. So the first couple batch I tried on was I tried one with it's a sign sitting on the ground, like a sandwich board sign for a garden event. And I got back a sign reading Garden for Victory, hanging from a tree, not correct, in an outdoor garden, inviting visitors to join NoCo Urban Homes for a Saturday event from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That is all accurate. And it's like not super clear on the sign. So I think the whole hanging from a tree is like, okay, fine. It's not like... That's an okay mistake that probably doesn't really matter because it did a good job of getting the text off of the signs. But then there was like beehives, where I would literally just be like beehives in a backyard or something as the alt text. And they're like a wooden house surrounded by lush garden of trees and outdoor buildings and an outhouse and shed buildings. And it doesn't know that these are beehives. And also there's no house in this picture.
So it confused the subject?
Yeah, it confused the subject. And then there were a few, and there were a couple of those. So I have one that's like a, this was all from going on an Urban Homestead tour. So there were like a picture of hops that somebody was drying because they were going to make their own like beer or cider or something. And it said a bowl of freshly cooked broccoli sits invitingly on a kitchen countertop. There's no kitchen countertop at all in this, which I find weird. And it's not broccoli.
Okay.
And then there's a few where it did an okay job, like it was accurate. Like I tried some of my blog posts from when we lived on Nantucket. Like I tried one of the Brant Point Lighthouse because I was curious, like, would it know which lighthouse this was? And that one, it says, the lighthouse stands on the beach with Brant Point light in the background. So it knew it was Brant Point Lighthouse on Nantucket, which is good. But I'm also like, why did it, like, it was trying so hard to make a sentence when it could have just been like, Brant Point Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Right? Or it could have described Brant Point Light, but it's like, it's weird because it says the lighthouse stands on the beach with the light in the background. So it almost makes it sound like there's two lighthouses in this picture.
Well, I've noticed that with OpenAI, and it's using OpenAI, that plugin.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed that in my prompts, a lot of times, like, it just over explains things when I ask it questions or I ask it to explain an article.
It's trying too hard.
I have to, like if I don't want to read an article, I put in there, like, you know, summarize this article simply in bullet points, right? Like, so it doesn't, like, try to, like, basically re-explain the whole article. I was like, I could have just read it in the first place. But it does seem to over explain things.
So there was one that I thought was interesting. You know how Yoast had said that he found that it would return things that are plausible but not factually true?
Yeah, I think that he called that hallucinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I have this picture of my oldest daughter. She's like 2, walking on a beach with the lighthouse behind her. She's wearing a dress. It says, a young person wearing shorts and a t-shirt stands on a beach surrounded by sand plants and bright summer sky dotted with clouds. That all is mostly accurate. Who cares about shorts and t-shirts? Not important, right? But then it adds, ready to embark on a vacation of hiking and exploration. And I think for it, it's like, it's probably feasible that she's going on a vacation because we lived in a vacation destination. But she's... But that is factually incorrect and makes no sense in this blog post if I were to put this in, because we weren't going on a vacation. Like, we just happened to live there. And this is a picture of her hanging out with me in our everyday life, right?
So the question is, is it better to not have alt text, or is it better to have incorrect alt text?
And I think it's better to not.
To not. I think. Yeah.
Because every piece of alt text is something someone has to hear when they encounter it. Now, granted, they could get to an image and they could decide to skip it. Mm-hmm. But they don't know if it's important or not. And so it increases the time that it would take to listen to a page and digest the information. And I think it would be better to have no alt text and have the, assuming there's an empty alt attribute, the images would just be skipped. Than to hear a bunch of inaccurate information.
So the,
I mean, or even like,
oh, I mean, we should say out of fairness, Amber, we should say out of fairness, I would say there is the potential for inaccurate information, because a couple of the photos had a somewhat accurate descriptions.
Yeah,
yeah. I have a hard time though. Like,
I think
so. Even if you look at our team photos,
yeah,
it oddly, I have no idea why. I laughed so much when I saw Chris's. So I tried all of our old team, but I tried our team headshots, and several of, so the females, for whatever one, say a close up reveals a smile. We have two males that are a person is smiling for the camera. One male is a person wearing glasses. And Chris's, I have no idea why, it says, a person is smiling in a headshot portrait showcasing their skin, chin, neck, jaw, cheeks, eyebrows, and dress shirt with a collar and fabric.
And man bun.
I feel like the AI wants to carve my face off. That's weird.
I thought you were going to say a samurai.
It would be great if they said a samurai.
A person is smiling. He looks like a total weirdo.
Yeah. So
he has a chin and neck jaw.
He has a, well, that, yeah. I mean, it's right. It's not wrong, is it?
No. I believe I have all of those parts on my face.
But really, I mean, but or even the same thing. Like, I tried one picture that was from Chris and my anniversary a few years ago. We went on a trip. And so it's just the two of us taking selfies.
Yeah.
And every image on that, it just said, people are smiling. Like, what's important isn't even Chris and Amber smiling. It's probably what's behind us.
Yeah.
Chris and Amber at the aquarium. Chris and Amber in front of a painting. Chris and, right? Like, Chris and Amber at the beach. Yeah. Like, who cares that Chris and Amber are smiling at every picture? Of course we are. I'm writing a blog post about our anniversary. Are we going to be mad at each other? I feel like it would be better to have no alt text.
I asked ChatGPT the disadvantages of using AI to define your alt text. And at least it showed some honesty here. It says accuracy. AI-generated alt text is not always accurately described on an image or convey its intended meaning. I think that's a big, its intended meaning. Because regardless of what's in the photo, the meaning of the photo could be different than actually what's on it. And it says, context sensitivity. AI may not fully understand the context or purpose of an image, leading to inappropriate or unhelpful descriptions, such as Chris has a chin and a nose or whatever. And then finally, it says over-optimization. It says AI-generated alt text may focus too much on SEO keywords, potentially compromising the quality and the usefulness of the description to the user. So
what I will say that I liked about the Every Alt on the post-edit screen, you have an image block, it adds the button, you can click it, it'll generate it. Then, of course, you don't have to update your post. You can
fix it
before you hit save. So it might give some people a starting point if they're not sure what to do. What I really didn't like was their bulk generate feature, which is literally you go and it's like bulk generate for all of our images. There's no ability to control it. Mm. And all it does is update the media library, which maybe they're going to fix this in a future version. But that, like, if I had said, oh, maybe this would make my blog slightly better, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have, because I have, what, 1,000 blog posts or something, because I blog for a long time as a mommy blogger, sometimes once a day. would know alt text, but it wouldn't actually go update those posts. So it was kind of like, what was, and there's no ability to like preview it and be like, yes, I want this. Or like, it'd be great if it generated and here's your grid of like however many, and then you can edit or approve and then hit a button that's like, yes. And then it would go out and save it. Mm. Like, it just overwrote it in the media library. And it even overwrote some that already had alt text from a more recent post when I had actually known about alt text.
Right. And in an effort to, like, you know, when my original statement, like, in an effort to, like, improve AI, in this context, there's no feedback loop. So, like, if I'm in chat, if I'm in chat GPT, right, and I ask it to, you know, write me a function that does XYZ, right, and it outputs the function, and I can be like, no, that's not what I was asking. You misunderstood. Please modify the function to do this, right? And it'll go, I'm sorry, and it'll rewrite it. But in this context, we're not giving OpenAI any feedback that, hey, yeah, you, this part of your description was right, this part was not right. And so that, so then there's a feedback loop of improving AI. So I would agree in that context, it's probably not super, super useful. But like, from the starting point, I mean, because that's kind of how I'm using it, right? I, like, if I need to know how to do something, you know, write me a function, do this, it's a starting point, because it's not always right. Even ChatGPT-4, I mean, in a lot of cases, it's not right, or not in a way I would do it. So, but it's a starting point, right? I save time by having it start. So
yeah, with any of these AI tools, and we're only going to see more of this, right? Yeah. But I think treating it as a aid in delivering a solution rather than the end all solution itself is going to be the way that we avoid the pitfalls of the inaccuracies and the issues. Right. And so, like, I don't know that I would discourage people from using every alt. I think it's a really interesting idea. And I think that type of automation and exploring that kind of automation and trying to improve it, right, is going to be part of the future of web accessibility. It may not be there yet. In fact, I think we've demonstrated that it's not, but it could still be a useful tool. Like, I don't know, Amber, like, thinking through it, like, if you for some reason by next week had to get all 4,500 images on your blog, you know, with accurate alt text on them, do you think having a tool like that, if it could go through and generate stuff and then you could go through and quickly edit what it wrote, do you think it would save you a little time versus just starting from scratch on every image?
No.
Mm.
Only because I think, well, one, the bulk feature doesn't update posts. If it updated posts and it updated smartly so it wouldn't overwrite any that you'd already added, that would be helpful. And maybe Rob's team has this coming, right? But right now, what's the point in adding alt to my media library that doesn't fix any of my published pages? So the bulk feature is not worth, like, it does nothing for you except use your money from your credits.
Yeah.
Are you sure that it doesn't go out and update anything else?
Yes, I tested. Go watch my videos. I tested. I tried. It doesn't update the posts. And maybe that's a little bit of because they haven't figured out yet how to get it to update only if the alt text is missing, because they don't want to overwrite quality alt text with garbage alt text, right? But for me, no. Like, in all my tests, I think there was really only one or two, and it was the image with the lighthouse. I didn't love that it sounded like there were two lighthouses, but I was like, okay, it knew it was Brant Point Lighthouse. I'll give it that. Like, and the one that had the board or sign with text on it, and it got all the text out of the sign, even though it's like written with chalk and like not like handwritten, right? I thought those were worthwhile. But the vast majority of it, it was, and there were a few others that I didn't post in there. Like, I got curious about what it would say about one of my home birth photos, but I was like, I'm not going to post an image for Steve to look at. Right? Like, where it was just like straight up wrong. Like, you know, or just like not help. Like, again, I don't think a blind person needs to go to a team page and hear a person smiling, a person smiling, a person smiling, a person smiling. Like, unless it could somehow be smart and you could train it to be like, oh, this blog post is about Amber and Chris, so every photo on this has Amber and Chris in it. So it would say Amber and Chris smiling in front of, and then it like said something about the background, like you could give it like a framework, like you can, like you could say, this is the template I want you to use for this post. Maybe, but across an entire website with hundreds of pages or thousands of products, like I just, I don't think it's there yet.
Well, I mean, I will say, like, just on that plugin side, the like, if it goes through your media library and it adds in default alt text for all the ones in the media library, right? You know, I'm not talking on if it's right or not, but those posts, if they're added to a post later, they will come in with that default alt text. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like future proofing, yeah, to some degree.
Now, yeah. Now that's aside from whether or not it's accurate or not, but
or helpful. Yeah,
the other thing I like before this recording that I was thinking about too is like some of the like alternative text on some of the media that I consume, which is like it includes like screenshots from abstract video games, right? Like spaceships flying around or like top-down pixelated graphics. Like I haven't run generating alt text through its paces for that type of media where it's not, you know, like your typical photo, right? Or showing it, you know, stuff from NASA or stuff from a museum art gallery. I wonder how it would perform.
I can guarantee you that, like, with how abstract it was on most of them, I mean, maybe it could say the Milky Way, but I can guarantee you most of the time it would just say stars in the sky.
Yeah.
So every image on NASA's website would have the same alt text or a very slight variation. And there might be one or two that have this really weird extra long, like your team shot. I have no idea why. So,
well, I mean,
for people who can't see those team photos, we're all in the same square with the same aspect ratio and the same, like the only thing, like, yeah. So it's very weird that it just picked that one to be different. I don't know why.
Yeah. I'm sort of interested in like the ethic behind this, right? Like on one hand, we advocate for accessibility out of the gate first, right? To always think about accessibility. And does this tempt people to say, all I have to do is click a button, I gotta pay for some credits and click a button and my 4,000 photos all have alt text, right? So I'm accessible, right? But they're not actually accessible. Like just having text fall within the alt text attribute doesn't mean you're accessible. That text means something. So I think it could have a negative influence, right? People think, I just click that button and I'm good, right?
So some of the lawsuits that I've seen against websites for accessibility that already have overlays on them, like Accessibe or UserWay or other tools like that, they list out in their complaints that it has added, so one, it's added alt text to images that are decorative and should not have alt text because AI doesn't always know that, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's correct for there to be no alt text. And two, that it's added inaccurate alt text or not helpful alt text. And those are listed in the lawsuits as complaints. And that would be part of my concern about ever recommending someone to do this, because how is this any different from what the overlays do?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
I love Rob's team, and I'm sorry.
No, it's
it's, you know, brutal, but like I tried it wanting it to work, but I just can't see it there yet. Maybe it will. I think AI has to be part of the future at some point. We just have to figure out how to get the technology there.
Well, and I think part of getting the technology there is to try to use it, right? I think it just has to be used responsibly.
Well, it has to be able to accept feedback. And yeah. I don't think OpenAI can learn. Isn't that what we talked about last time with Yoast?
Well, like, I mean,
it can give you better results, but it doesn't save that and learn and distribute it to someone else yet.
I don't know. I don't know if that's like open. I don't know if we know what it's doing when we give it prompts. I could imagine that, you know, who makes this? Is that Microsoft that makes OpenAI?
No, OpenAI is its own
thing. It's its own thing. But like the human prompts that I give it back, the feedback I give it back, I think it would be very good for them to use that to make it better, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't think it is though right now, because I also think I've heard that like it's only trained on websites up to like
that's three
2022 or something like that.
That's ChatGPT 3. So
oh, there's a different version. Yeah, it goes up to like, so it might depend on what version it's using too.
Yes, so like, you know, I've got the paid plan, so you can use 4. You can only make like 25 requests every hour, but I haven't really seen a ton of difference with 4, in my opinion, just that I can put more stuff in there. Character limits are larger and stuff, but but I'd imagine it's learning, right? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, isn't that the definition of AI?
Yeah, it should be able to learn.
So if OpenAI is able to learn, then it would be great for Rob's team to build some sort of feedback loop into this plugin, like you said, where you could set, like maybe on each one, there could even just be a button that like regenerate.
Right.
Regenerate. And it could track like how many times you hit regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you type in a new alt instead of what it provided, like it could send that back and learn that this is the alt text that we type for this. I mean, this is what gets weird too, though, on websites. Like in Google, I have a cat that's hanging on me, everybody. I think in Google Photos or something, you can teach it to recognize people and it will tag people. But this is an interesting thing. If I want on my blog it to like correctly label my children, do I actually want OpenAI to be able to correctly label my children everywhere on the web?
Mm.
I don't know if I do. So that's like a weird privacy thing too with training it, like learning to recognize that this shouldn't just say a person, this should say Amber Hines or Amber Hines' daughter's name.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge discussion, right? Like on what's copyrighted, what should be protected with AI. I mean, we could probably do a whole new podcast on that, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Probably we could. Well,
I know we're nearing time. Like, I don't know if we'll hit a resolution on the AI, except for I don't think it's there. I wouldn't recommend it yet, but maybe it will be. It's a cool idea. I love that they tried it.
Yeah.
And maybe they can come back with some really interesting use cases. We had talked a little bit earlier about misuse of alt text and sort of said we were going to talk about it. So I just want to circle back on that before we close. There's an article from the Wall Street Journal about like complaints, like when Twitter surfaced the alt that you could click on and everybody could see, like, people started being like, oh, this is, you know, they could put like Easter egg content in there, or, like other stuff. So I'm curious if either of you have any thoughts about that or like tips for people on alt text to make sure it really is what it's supposed to be for people. Who are not cited.
Yeah. I mean, on the misuse, I mean, it's the internet, right? Like, I think if on the internet, if it can be misused, it will be misused in some fashion. So, like, I think in regards to...
Yeah, I mean,
on
websites.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, on websites, sometimes people are like, this is how I can add more keywords for SEO.
Well, yeah, I mean, that and, you know, when I asked OpenAI... you know, the disadvantages of alt text, and it said that, right? Like keyword, you know, it tries to prioritize keywords a little more than it should, right? And humans can do the same thing just to try to get some more, you know, SEO juice, right?
Oh, I used to do that years ago before I knew better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so we all want to keep in mind, I guess this the summary, right, is we all want to keep in mind that it's supposed to be context specific.
Yep.
It's supposed to describe the image to people who can't see it. Don't like add extra information or anything in there. It's not like Easter egg. And that, you know, we want to really think about conveying the important details to people who can't see. You know, it doesn't have to describe everything. You know, maybe it's more about mood or tone or something that conveys personality.
Mm-hmm. And relates to the context around the image, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So. Cool.
But look at that. We got 40 minutes talking about alt text.
There you go.
I feel like this is something that comes up very frequently at WordPress Accessibility Meetup during Q&As. Almost every meetup, people ask questions of our speakers about alt text.
Hmm.
So it seems like something that would be easy, but it's really not as much. Yeah. So there's a lot of art to it. Or craft.
Craft. There you go. Speaking of craft, the Westminster, you know, I hit this thing right from the bottle, and I've been burping ever since. So I think I ingested some yeast here.
Pour it in a pine glass.
There you go.
Or a mason jar in my, because I drink out of mason jars.
So my recommendation to close us out, Steve, because I'm assuming you won't finish that 750 milliliter bottle by yourself, is what? Whatever's left.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm almost all the way done.
There's no work's getting done for the rest of the day, guys. I got to finish this bottle.
but that would make a heck of a beer bread.
Have you ever made a beer bread?
I have not. I mean, I haven't made any kind of bread in my life.
ask a chat GPT-4 for a beer bread recipe.
All right, I'm on it.
Make some beer bread.
Yeah, beer bread is super tasty, and it's like a quick bread, so it doesn't really have to rise like a yeast bread. It's like banana bread, only made with beer and not bananas.
There you go.
All right, well, thanks everybody, we'll be back soon.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.